I'm Gab, he's Jules. Blue skies over West London. Blue is still in Munich, sort of, not really. Definitely dark skies over Borussia Dortmund. It's the end of the Bundesliga. Remarkable stuff, remarkable ending. You can say follow script. We've got Jan Agafjortov with us. I'm just going to sum this up as quickly as I can. All that Borussia Dortmund needed to do was equal or better Bayern Munich's result. Which meant, hey, easy. We're playing Mainz at home, right? Easy peasy. Mainz have nothing to play for. And yet somehow after, 25 minutes, they're two goals down and they've missed a penalty. They've totally soiled the bet on this one. I have defended them. I have defended Terzic. I said, look, they've overcome all their struggles of the past. Let's not live by stereotypes. Spurs, Inter, Spursiness. There's no such thing. Jan, I was wrong. These people are cursed by the gods.
We were all wrong, Gab. I think we should have Adele with some musing in the background. There's 81,000 inside. There are 60,000 outside, all ready for a party, all ready for a day to remember for the rest of their lives. And the good news, they will remember this day for the rest of their life because this was so a lost opportunity. And you will say, all three of us are romantic. We want that story. We love the Bundesliga. We want another team to win it, not against Bayern, but we just want someone to kind of stop Bayern doing what they've done now for ages. And then again, Mainz, only Mainz, and due respect to Mainz, they did a great job there. But do I have sympathy for Dortmund? Do I feel sorry for them? No, I'm sorry. We're in the sport. We're in the business of sport. And if you can't take the heat, get the beep out of the kitchen.
Jules, Mainz had lost four games in a row going into this. And you know what? I know it's not going to solve anything, but the expected goals for Borussia Dortmund, 3.81 according to StatsBomb. Six big chances missed. They tried. It's just those two stupid goals early with a crappy, stupid defending. Onuisi, could you have been more open?
I know. And you could, you could have imagined that the nerves would have been there. I mean, at home this season, before the game, they had 14 wins, one draw, one defeat. So almost a perfect, result and everything this season. And yet, because Kingsley Coman scored early for Bayern, which I think everybody in the stadium in Dortmund knew about, at that time, they were not champions anymore. And I think that maybe added up the pressure, added the nerves. You concede two goals, Haller missing the penalty. It's not a good pen at all. And then suddenly you're under pressure. And even if you come back, it was always, once you 2-0 down against a team like that, it was always going to be difficult.
On the flip side, of course, we have Bayern. They took the lead, as Jules said, a great goal from Kingsley Coman. And then 81 minutes to go, Ljubicic equalizes for Cologne, and Dortmund are suddenly champions again.
Yeah.
And now it only lasts, 7 minutes until Jamal Musiala's goal. It's almost too easy to talk about mentality and all this stuff, but I will, and I'm not going to go down that road because I think it's a bit trite. But I will say this about mentality, Jan. You and I think we agree on this. We think they really soiled the bed when they sacked Nagelsmann for Tuchel in the way they did for the reasons that they gave, and with that timing. And I said, Kahn and Brazo have to own the decision. This is not a good season for Bayern. They're not going to hide the silverware. And what do? It's like the Grinch that steals Christmas. They tell Kahn not to even travel to the game.
Oh.
They fire both of them. Were you surprised it happened in this way?
Well, I will just sum up the title race before. It's like I will do a Quincy Jones song. I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. So that's for me, Dortmund. But that was clear. And we'll go into the details of the Kahn and Bratzo thing. It was not that easy. There's word against word, but it's the ruthlessness of Bayern on the pitch and off the pitch, I think, summarized this week. So they kind of fire him after they said to him, why don't we do this friendly, Mr. Kahn? Bratzo said, that's okay for me. So they fire him Friday evening, and then he don't have to go there. Why should he go there? He's not even CEO of Bayern. That is the Bayern way. But I think that we can write a book about this. This is FC Hollywood. This is FC Hollywood in front of us doing what they always done. And Nagelsmann is a paradox, isn't it? Kahn being mad now that he was fired the way he was, and this was the guy who fired Nagelsmann without him knowing, being in a ski holiday.
Yeah, I genuinely wonder. I wonder what Tony Topalovich has to say about all this, among other things. Jules, I guess it is what. It is what big clubs do, looking beyond the results onto the performance, realizing there's something to do. We're going to get into this. We're going to get into a lot more. I'm going to give a shout out to my man on the Take and Zay, because we know who is responsible for all this, pulling the strings behind the curtain. It's big Uli Hoeneß. Shout out to Uli. We love you. All right. For those who don't know, I feel I need to give some. For those who aren't that well-versed, Uli Hoeneß, legendary farmer, player, manager, sausage factory owner,
everything.
Genius, credited with creating the modern Bayern, also got into some trouble a while back not paying all of his taxes.
Went to jail.
Who bought Pep Guardiola to the club. He officially has no role at Bayern, but Jan, he's the man behind the scenes. He's got his people high up in the organization. I think Khan and Brazo, not necessarily his people. Now they're back. Sorry, now they're gone. Although it's not entirely 100% a win, because there's a lot of rumors that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, another legendary former president, former superstar forward, somebody who worked with Hoeneß, didn't always see eye to eye with Hoeneß. He's on his way back in. So are they just getting the old gang back together?
Yes, they are. And Uli Hoeneß got a kind of formal role that he's sitting in the Aufsichtsrat, which is the supervisory board of Bayern. But now he's getting his people together again. And I think that Uli Hoeneß, and as you said it at the beginning, this is his club. He's been there since he was 27, 28, end of 70s. This is his club. He is the Don Corleone. He is everything at this club. So what I think that the big mistake Uli Hoeneß did was that if you bring in a coach, if you bring in a head of sport, the skill to be a former player is important because of identity, because of loyalty, and understand the culture of the club, fine. But I think that the big mistake is when you bring in a CEO of a club, because that is nothing to do. It's a sport as well, but it's being the head of one of the biggest brands in Germany. And to bring in Oliver Kahn just on the skill that he took some business courses, that he was a former player, that was not good enough. And I think that Uli Hoeneß realized that. Brazo, you could do a head of sport. You would say, was he qualified for doing that? But still, that happened in football, that you put in head of sport that has been at the club. But it was a big mistake to get Oliver Kahn in. He was not good enough. And it was not a way that he could fill that role. And Uli Hoeneß realized that. Uli Hoeneß hasn't said a word for ages. The only thing he did was to come in and talk to Tuchel for 20 minutes underground with the whole press there. You say it best when you say nothing at all. And that we all know that was gone. That Oliver Kahn was gone after we saw that. And he was not a popular among the employees at the club. It will be difficult for any CEO coming after Uli Hoeneß, but I don't think that the approach Oliver Kahn did to the job was right. And then that is, I've said many times the last couple of days, that is the name of the game. Then you have to go.
Yeah, it's not a great moment for legendary Bayern goalkeepers between Kahn and I don't know where Manuel Neuer's, what his future is looking like either, frankly, at this point, but.
But it's been a bad season. 71 points. This has to be one of the lowest.
Their lowest season since 2011-12, I think.
And so Nagelsmann paid for it at some point. He paid for the dressing room not being too happy. He paid maybe for a difficult relationship.
They weren't on track to get 71 points.
No, but it doesn't matter. He paid. Okay. If everything was rosy and good, they would not have sacked him. So there were clearly issues there. There were issues there, Gab. You don't sack someone for no reasons.
Right. It doesn't mean that those are the reasons to sack him. I don't want to go through the Nagelsmann thing. But
whether it's a good call or not, it doesn't matter. You sack him for a reason. So at some point, someone is responsible for the bad season, whether that Kahn, Nagelsmann, Brazo.
Tuchel. I'm sorry.
Why is Tuchel responsible for the bad season?
Because Tuchel lost more games since taking over than the Nagelsmann had lost in like 18 months leading Bayern, something like that. Because Tuchel was brought in to go and rescue the season, and he got knocked out badly of two competitions. So to exonerate Tuchel, and I heard you guys say Tuchel comes into the stronger. I look, and again, as you know, I am the number one Tuchelista. However, I think in the real world, there has to be a situation where Tuchel has to be held responsible for the way this season ended. Cite the 71 points, they wouldn't have had that 71 points if he'd stayed. He was not on track for 71 points. He was on track for far more than that.
We don't know. Yeah, but you don't know that. You can't say, like, if Nagelsmann had stayed, they would have won 81 points. We don't know. And you can look again at Tuchel against City, where I don't think Bayern were that much, like, weaker than City. Especially if you look at the expected goals, especially in that second game. The Cup, they lost against Freiburg, who had one penalty, one incredible goal, and Bayern had a lot of chances again. I think it's really harsh. I don't know what you think, Jan, but I think it's really harsh to put some of the blame on Tuchel for an average season like that.
Yes, if you saw the mandate at that press conference when Tuchel came in, I go with Gab in the thing that he will come in to kind of secure them the trouble. I mean, that was the propaganda being said. Like he should.
Yeah,
so
true.
He's out of the cup, out of the Champions League. But you have to see the big picture here. Because first of all, someone got to be responsible for a very bad season of Bayern. And it is a traditional Bayern. This is not the first time they're firing a manager. They fired Otto Rehhagel before the UEFA Cup final. They took a title away from him. And this guy still can't believe that. He's in his 80s now. So that could happen. So to put a lot of blame on Tuchel, I mean, you can say that he didn't turn the team around as quick as everybody hoped for. But there are clearly, if you want to evaluate this season, Nagelsmann, done. That happened in football, that you fire the manager. You've seen in England, success or not success, but still, it happened all the time. But the problem is with Salah Hamasic, I said Bratzo, no, it's easier when I'm enthusiastic about this. Bratzo, the recruitment this season hasn't been good enough. When they played Manchester City, I think it was 5 of 6 new players, only De Ligt played, and they spent a lot of money. So that was his responsibility. Oliver Kahn is the head of everything. Bayern Munich have had a terrible season, and they paid the price. Should we take the long discussion about loyalty, long-term thinking, and everything? But that's not Bayern. And if you get into Bayern, that is a part of the thing. So if you're the coach of Bayern, you can't say that, give me time. Because that is the only thing that is luxury at Bayern is time. There is no chance. So Nagelsmann, at that time, should he have done it for the rest of the season? Maybe he should. Would he end up with even more than Tuchel? Maybe he should. But that was not good enough for Bayern. Sorry, Gab. That was not good enough. And he had to pay the price, Nagelsmann.
Throwing forward to Bayern, because obviously, I think most people say, well, Lewandowski leaving left them a large Lewandowski-shaped hole at center forward, one that Mane couldn't fill. They're going to need to get a center forward. The issue with the young players, too, you know, you invested either, some of these were free transfers, but, you know, Mazraoui, Ryan Gravenberch, yeah. Matthijs Tel, who for some reason people in Germany think is the second coming, I don't know. All these guys, one of the reasons cited for Nagelsmann being let go was, oh, you didn't play Matthijs Tel more. You didn't find space for these other players. I'm curious now, how does he go and approach this? And how does he approach one of my favorite subjects, which is the Musiala-Müller dichotomy? Because there was a couple of games where he played a 4-1-4-1 system with Kimmich in front of the back four, where it looked kind of like last season's Manchester City, where you had Müller and Musiala together. But Müller and Musiala together, plus a center forward, Kimmich on his own in front of the back four, if you're going to have attacking wing backs, that's really difficult to do, right, Jan?
I have a theory, and maybe this is not right, but I have a theory. Because, first of all, we have to understand the environment in Germany. Because every time Bayern loses and Müller is not there, he should have been there and they would have won. But if they lose and Müller is not there, we don't talk about it. When Müller is there, we don't talk about that. I asked in a German studio, I said, was he in Qatar as well, Müller? Yes. Okay. Now, I'm just wondering, because Müller, this is the position of Müller, and rightly so, he's earned his position. But I think that Tuchel will now start with getting the team younger and sharper. And I'm not sure that Thomas Müller would have a long-term relationship to Bayern. First of all, he's old. And secondly, he has to accept a new role. He has to accept what Mats Hummels, to be fair to him, I wouldn't be critical to Mats Hummels, but he accepted his position this season. he won't play all games. I don't think Nagelsmann was strong enough to do that. Because if you have Musiala there, I mean, Musiala got to play. He's one of the most promising young players in the world. And if he doesn't play, he has to leave Bayern. That is a fact.
It's really interesting to say that. And I want to just follow up with you for a second there, Jan. As a former player, right? Because especially somebody like Müller, who's been so good for so long, right? There comes a moment, it'll even come for Cristiano and Messi.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe it's already come, where you say, you know what? I can't do what I did before. And yet you always tell yourself that you have to be mentally strong, that you can achieve more than what your skills tell you can achieve. How do you handle that dichotomy? Is it something that Tuchel can do on his own? Does he need Hoeneß's backing? How does Hoeneß feel about Thomas Müller? And also, what can you do with Thomas Müller? Because Hummels you could send back to Borussia Dortmund. There's nowhere else for Müller to go unless maybe you make him CEO in space of, you know, send him business school, make him CEO in place of Oliver Kahn. Yeah. Well, how do you handle this? What can you do?
And don't laugh, because Thomas Müller will probably be a candidate for that in the next 3-4 years if it comes to the Hoeneß way. What is interesting with Bayern, they were lucky with Philipp Lahm that he retired when he did. They were lucky with Bastian Schweinsteiger going to Manchester United. That was like his golden handshake. He went away. This is difficult. It's very difficult. In my career, I remember Felix Magath came to me at the end of my Frankfurt time and he said, Jan, you're in an age now. I will try to get young strikers in. I can't give you any promise of anything. Yeah, I said, that's fine. I'm a part of my career. I will stay on fight for my minutes and I will try as get as many games as I can. But this is hard, as better you get. You see that with Ronaldo. You will probably now see that with Messi as well, what it will do at the end of his career. So this is all up to Thomas Müller. But we have to understand Thomas Müller's position in German football. You have to understand his position at Bayern. And we take this for granted because we love the Bundesliga. We follow Bundesliga. But listen, Thomas Tuchel puts Thomas Müller on the bench. What is happening? Bratzo and Oliver Kahn is the CEO. They take him into a meeting in Semmelstrasse and it's all over the papers that they tell him, just be in there. Can you imagine if Klopp put Nunez on the bench and there was some CEOs of Liverpool take him into a meeting and say, listen, we know that you're struggling with Klopp at the moment, but just be patient because you're so important for us. But in Germany, we take this. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. So this is Thomas Tuchel's challenge now. What to do with Thomas Tuchel? I think that Manuel Neuer will have his position because he's a goalkeeper. I think that is different. But it would still be a challenge there as well. What do you do with Nübel? What do you do with Sommer? What do you do with a new goalkeeper? Because Manuel Neuer can't play forever.
Well, I'm just waiting for us to hear what happens to Ulreich. Of course, that's what we're all waiting for.
Next season is fascinating already to know what Tuchel is going to do. And when we said with Jan earlier, when we were preparing for the show, that it feels like Tuchel is in a strong position because now the club is going to go and get a sporting director to replace Salihamidžić. And surely Tuchel will be part of that, you would think, or maybe would be consulted at least, because you need a strong relationship between Tuchel and whoever comes in as sporting director, with that Max Eberl or whoever they're going for. And also because Tuchel will say, okay, like, I don't want those guys that you signed with Nagelsmann, that Brazo signed. I don't want Sadio Mane. I don't want him. I don't want Bruno Sarr. But I want this profile and this player and et cetera, et cetera. And let's see if they back him up in the summer. Mm-hmm. But already next season, between the pressure of doing better than this season, what to do with Müller, what to do when Neuer comes back, and then who's going to come in, who's going to leave the club. If Sadio Mane leaves the club this summer, this is a huge story. It's a massive failure from a club like Bayern not to have been able to accommodate a player of this time. Whether it might be his fault, maybe it's the club's fault, I don't know, I don't care. But imagine spending that money on Sadio Mane and then 12 months later thinking, you know what, just know it didn't work out. We're going to sell you at a loss because there's no way they're going to make that money back.
And likely taking a huge loss, yeah. Unless he goes to Saudi Arabia and plays with Cristiano. Yeah. You never know. I want to chuck it over to Dortmund. My attitude is to be a little bullish on the future. In the sense, yes, next season they'll come back, probably without Jude Bellingham, but, you know, they'll have a big wad of money in his place.
Yeah.
If they can heal from the trauma, and I know that's a big if.
But can you from that?
I mean, people have suffered setbacks, right?
I know, but that's a hell of a setback.
Look, Sebastian Haller came back from having freaking cancer, right? He could heal from a missed penalty.
No, for sure.
And a terrible performance, because, by the way, the first goal, I thought was down to him as much as Emre Can. I don't think they're in a bad position. My one thing about this club, which I don't understand, and please, you, Jan, you help me understand. It's tense. It matters. The stakes are high. You need to make a substitution. And you send on this 17-year-old kid?
Just turned 17, yeah, Julien Duranville.
Julien Duranville, who...
I never played for Dortmund before.
Literally has never played. You send him on your debut in a title decider when you have, I think at that point, they had Moukoko on the bench. They had Anthony Modeste. They had Gio Reyna, who, you know, a portion of people in the U.S. think that he's the reason they were even competing for the title at this stage. Can you talk a little bit about that Dortmund mentality? That because I didn't mean to opine about this, but this is not the time. I'm not saying he cost them the game, although I don't think he was great when he came on.
Yeah, it was not too bad, I thought.
But what would prompt the manager to do that? What would make Edin Terzic say, like, yeah, rather than guys who got us this far, who've been through the wars, I'm going to send in this 17-year-old kid for his debut?
Well, I think if I'm going to be very populistic, if I'm going to be very tabloid, I think there are times when a manager get that feeling, I have to do something very, very differently. With other coaches, you could say you get a God syndrome, because you will think that if I put this guy on now and he get the decider, that was a big decision by the manager, Edin Terzic. I'm not saying Edin Terzic did that, but I reacted the same way you guys are doing. To Dortmund, how they do things, I think, is down to cultures. It's down to you have to get that winning culture back, like Manchester City in the Champions League, Arsenal in the Premier League. You need to do that. If we tell some people coming down from another planet and they would say what happened is typical Dortmund and typical Bayern, and they will understand straight away what we mean, because that will never happen to Bayern. When was the last time Bayern lost something? That must be before the Bundesliga was even founded. So this is building up a foundation, and Edin Terzic, I like him. I mean, the story we could have discussed today, that fan who was standing in the stands, he's there, he's at Dortmund, he's black and yellow, this is the man. But at the end of the day, Gabon, I think we could agree on this. Goal difference, yes. Time, yes. That is sport. That is sport. And when you put on a debut and you have Modeste, as you were saying, and Reyna, and I love the Americans with the Pulisic and Reyna. There is always a conspiracy against every American. And that is a part of the discussion we do have. But I don't think football, in a large number, is based on decisions, is based on the consequences of your decisions. And I think that is quite illustrative, if this is the English word for it, the way that they kind of lost it at the end. And now, Gab, you can have your big time saying that you can't do that on goal difference. But I think, well, that's a part of the game again.
I don't know if you can come back from that. I don't know how long it will take them. That's what I mean. Next season, all we're going to talk about from the start of this season to maybe mid-season is Dortmund. If they start not well... Oh, yeah. This is about... Even if they start well, we say, okay, they might start well, but we know what happened last season. We will always come back to last season, always come back to that minds game. Always, and yeah, Bellingham won't be there. There might be a few changes. I would expect Terzic to still be there. But it's going to be... I don't know, man.
Hey, so for those people who expect maybe a different winner next year, when you look at Borussia Dortmund next year, they'll be without Bellingham almost certainly. We know Leipzig will be without Christopher Nkunku, not only their best player, but the top scorer in the Bundesliga this season, alongside the legendary Niklas Füllkrug. It's another Bayern win before we even get started. And that, I think, is what some people will depress some people. I want to end it on this point. This is not, people said, oh, look, you're a Dortmund fan. I'm not a Dortmund fan. I could care less about Dortmund. In fact, Dortmund annoy me many times. And by the way, it was just Duranville. Remember years ago, they played Knauf in some big Champions League game. And he's the guy who also, for his debut, they started him. I mean, it's whatever. Not the way I would do things. But in Italy, for many years, we had a rule that said if two teams finished level at the top of the table at the end of the season. It's so special. We cannot give the title based on head-to-head or based on goal difference. It actually had only happened once in history, I think in 1964, Inter against Bologna. Then they changed it a few years ago. They said, let's become like everybody else. Let's do it either based on head-to-head, like they do in Spain, or goal difference,
you
like they do
that,
in England.
Don't you?
I absolutely hate this. It is such a rare occurrence. I think for a World Cup final, and if two teams finish level, you send everybody home and you say, guys, let's come back and let's settle this on the pitch. And I'll tell you why briefly, and you could all tell me that I'm mad. And by the way, this is not an excuse. Everybody knows ahead of time that it's goal difference or head-to-head. Leaving aside the obvious that it would be incredibly exciting, leaving aside the obvious that it robs us of finishes, right? Because if you have a situation where one team is 20 goals ahead on goal difference, and you know, or head-to-head, you know that they can't make up the difference. It creates potentially weirdo, suspicious situations with goal differences, which has happened in the past, and teams with nothing to play for. It's arbitrary to the point that, you know, if opposing goalkeeper gets sent off after 5 minutes in a game, and then somebody else, and then the reserve gets injured and stuff, and Fjortoft goes in goal and they ship 12 goals, it's got nothing to do with anything, right? I think this is what they should do, and I know there's an issue with fixture congestion. Most of all, for me, is the goal of the point of the season. We decide a champion by who gets the most points. That is the only thing we decided on.
Yeah.
We don't do it based on who beats who head-to-head. We don't do it based on goal difference. We don't make the league table based on goal difference. We just do it on points. So if you guys both finish level of points, there's two solutions. Either you share the title, but let's face it, that's kind of lame, or you settle it mano a mano, like professionals, 90 minutes.
You're a good lawyer. You're a good lawyer, Gab.
Thank you.
You could defend that. I think the, when you compare it with the World Cup final, that's something else, because I don't think you can compare cup with league. That is one thing. But I can understand what you do, and I can understand what you're saying. I don't think it's realistic that it will be changed, because it's very accepted by the fans. If I can, at the end of my last speaking time, can say two things, is that what I think should be changed, and we are a part of TV industry, so I don't think it will be changed, but I think that the two last rounds should be on the same time. I think that the last round, when they're playing on different times, I don't think that that is fair in the terms. And I just want to play into something else that is maybe another episode, another discussion, but maybe if you see the table now, and you were saying, Gab, with the low points that the winner got this year, is like 11, 12 years ago, imagine RB Leipzig. Maybe they're sitting there now thinking, Nkunku, if he was fit all season, was this our big chance to win the league? As for now, if we're going to do a prediction now, Bayern Munich would probably get a great striker. Tuchel, our main man, will make them win the league with 13 points.
Right. Jules, you get the last word on this. Okay. Before, by the way, before I remind everybody of one other thing, right? We're all used to the playoffs, right? We've got promotion playoffs in England, in Italy, and so on.
Playoffs.
Oh, look, somebody can finish in sixth place, 30 points behind the third place team, and then they advance to the Premier League in the playoffs. They get 200 million, richest game in world football. Oh, isn't it great? Isn't it fun? Isn't it wonderful, right? So if people can wrap their heads around that, they can wrap their heads around this. Jules, you got
I love your passion, Gab, about it. I knew that was coming, the penalty.
Yeah, we might have gone through this before.
Goal difference. We've had this conversation before. I would happily have a decider game between Bayern and Dortmund or whoever else is level. But I think Jan makes some good points as well about there's a reason why there's goal difference or head-to-head. The season is 38 games long, not 39. Even if you're both level, at some point you have to separate two clubs or two teams who are, even if they have the same point. And you can understand if I beat you head-to-head twice in the season, I've been better than you twice, depending on the circumstances.
If you want to make that argument, then you can't make the 38 seasons, 38 games, because it means you lost to somebody else.
But,
right?
But then goal difference, right, which I know you hate even probably more than head-to-head, you know, it makes sense for some people. So.
Yeah, what's really funny is if you go down the tiebreakers, even in the Premier League at some point, I'm assuming you get to drawing lots, right? If you have the same goal difference, same head-to-head.
Same goal scored.
Same goal scored, you know, which, I don't know. It seems silly to me.
I think the playoff gap, I think that the metaphor with the playoff is interesting. But listen, when you do like Luton now, they got the extra chance. Sheffield United and Burnley are already up. They are there on merit. So the third position, the third league going into the Premier League, that is an extra chance. I think that is a big difference. Fun. No, but
let's introduce Champions League playoffs. I want to see more.
If Burnley and Sheffield United also have to go into playoffs, that would people wouldn't love that as much as they do now.
No, I'm with you on that. Jan, it's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Bundesliga. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Harry Kane scores 2 goals as Tottenham beat Leeds 4-1, relegating them to the championships. Jules, I guess the Big Sam experiment didn't work out.
Nope.
But how impressed are you with Kane's 30 goals?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Kane. I think it's an incredible achievement considering how bad his team has been all season. And when you think that Erling Haaland scored 36 in a much, much, much better team, in a City team that creates so much and has created so many chances for him, I would see it almost as a better season for Kane individually. I mean, Haaland has been great and City have been amazing. But Kane's 30 goals in that Spurs team, I think, speaks so much volume, maybe even more slightly than Haaland.
Yeah, and I think it's the second time he's hit the 30 goal mark in a league season. The only other player in the Premier League era who's done it more than once is Alan Shearer, who, of course, is a legend. As for Big Sam?
I mean, they were outside of the bottom three when he arrived. What's going on, Big Sam?
What's going on is also like...
I know, but
he literally...
They were not in the bottom three when he arrived.
No. And he gave the impression of somebody who's just like, oh, well, we're not good defense. I don't know. He did not come across well.
But remember, he's as good as Pep and Jürgen.
Stop it.
A stunning goal from the very French and very handsome Olivier Giroud gives Milan a 1-0 win away to Juventus, guaranteeing them Champions League football next season. How important was this, Big?
I think it's really big. I think it's really big. Milan didn't play particularly well. No. It was kind of a plodding game. Juve, though, were even worse.
Yeah.
So, but it's important for them. It's important because, you know, after the season they had, where obviously they went deep into Europe, their bench contributed very little this year. They're going to have some big calls to make. They committed a lot of money to Rafael Leao.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to have to, you know, add more pieces and add more depth. And I think being in the Champions League again is important for the brand, important for where they want to be. Max Allegri says that without the penalty, Juventus would be third. And he also said that, look, if I'm just a guy who just wanted to win, I would have joined another club.
Really?
I wouldn't have come back here.
Okay.
Are you impressed with his selflessness?
Absolutely not, no. I think he is the problem, or part of the problem. 2 seasons in a row, now Juve don't win anything. No trophy, nothing. I don't think the points deduction helped, of course, psychologically and everything. And they can still get a Europa League spot, depending on what happens in the last game of the season.
Yeah, but then they'll just take it away from them, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, probably UEFA as well. It's just, I think it's been a shocking season, in a season where they haven't played well at all, where a player like Vlahovic, for example, underachieved mostly because of the way the team was playing around him, and I blame Allegri for that. So
What really bugs me about this is the way he comes across, because he let it be known that he chose Juve, saying knowing that they wouldn't win, right? And this was a summer when, like, if you remember, you know, they added Chiesa. They spent a lot of money on Chiesa. Then they got Vlahovic 6 months later. The guys before him, Sarri and Pirlo, they won stuff and got many more points than he did in more difficult circumstances. His friends in the media telling everybody that, you know, well, he had offers from Real Madrid, he had an offer from Inter, blah, 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 he chose Juve. Yeah, fine. I don't know to what degree I believe this, but fact of the matter is, are you really the rebuilding man? I don't think
definitely so. Definitely not. I agree with you. And you know what? I'm not even sure Zidane would be. If they part ways with Allegri and think that Zidane could be the answer, I think you need a big change than someone who played at the club. And Zidane is not good for rebuilding squad.
There's really tough times ahead with the penalties, with the uncertainty, with the eventual lack of money.
Yeah.
You got to rebuild. You got to challenge the fans. I'm talking like the real fans, not the Juve fans who only watch them when they win, watch on television, on dodgy streams from a distance and populate social media. All those guys. Tell those guys to go away and say, we're going to do it with kids. It's going to take a while, but we're going to do it right.
Yeah, you're right. Chelsea and Newcastle draw 1-1, but Gab, the real news is that Mauricio Pochettino has finally signed for Chelsea.
Yeah, how do we know this?
Woo!
How do we know this? Has the club made an announcement that he's
not
signed?
Not yet, but...
No, they haven't. No, this is what they did.
They're going to do it today or tomorrow. They waited for the season to finish.
Their servants in the media.
Of course.
Right? The same people who told us that he had agreed a deal.
Yeah.
Now they said, oh, look, he's actually signed the deal.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sure he has. I'm sure he signed the deal, right? I just don't understand why it takes this long for him to sign the deal and why they can't announce it. And none of this nonsense, oh, it would have destabilized Frank. This would have been perfect time yesterday. Chelsea, Newcastle at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Announce it. Have him there waving to the crowd.
With his
cough. You think it's gonna mess up Frank Lampard?
I mean,
to me, this is more bad PR from Chelsea. Either that or there's a reason why it has taken this long. Yeah. Time will tell.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I think we need some more quick hits.
Yes, God.
Huge and unexpected news out of France, Jules. Paris Saint-Germain draw 1-1 with Strasbourg. That means they're champions for the ninth time in the last 11 years. You're smiling now, but something tells me this title, a little bit less celebrated than all the others.
It's just a bit underwhelming because the season hasn't been great. You take the titles, as Kylian reminded everybody on Sunday night, and it's the 11th of... the history, which is the most that any French clubs had, because Saint-Étienne had 10, Marseille have 9, and then
it's
others.
A very high percentage, too, given their history goes all the way back to the 1970s,
I'm not listening to you. It's just, it's a title. The Marseille guy won a title, another one after the one with Lille. Good for him, but I really hope he leaves the club. And it's just Messi scored the goal that brought the title, of course, like he did last season. So at least he gave that. And he also became, I mean, I know you don't care, but he scored now one more goal than Cristiano for becoming in the top five leagues in Europe. The highest goal scorer with 496, I think, and Cristiano has 495 or something like that. That's what we will remember.
All right.
You know? And Kylian Mbappé spoke on Sunday after being voted player of the season again for the fourth year in a row. And he said he was staying at PSG for next season. Yeah, that's good news.
He said he's staying because he has a contract.
Yeah, but he could have said, like, I've got a contract, but I don't want to be here anymore.
Right, yeah. That would have really sucked. He could have just said, imagine. Of course I'm staying. I don't know what he meant. I'm not reading his body language. I mean, it sounded like, you know, when you were a kid and your mom said, Jules, you have to go to church. And he says, yeah, of course I'm going to go to church because otherwise, like, you're going to take my brand new bicycle away.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, this says another year of speculation, free agency, new contract.
Yeah.
And it's just another year of uncertainty layered on top of the imminent uncertainty with, well, Gaultier, I think, is pretty certain, and Messi too. But are the Qataris going to continue? Neymar, all this stuff. I don't know. All I know is, in terms of leverage, in terms of his options, these short-term contracts are definitely working for him.
Yeah.
Manchester City wheel out the B team and lose to Brentford 1-0. Jules, nobody cares. Nope. But How about Brentford doing the double over the potential treble winners? Does that excite you?
Yeah, very impressive. Even if it's a B team, the team that they beat at the Etihad, by the way, was not a B team, and they played really well in there.
Great goal. But this one with Calvin Phillips and Cole Palmer, like
Of course. No, of course. They still good. They still have good players. City. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's still not you and me playing for them. It's still Pep Guardiola the manager. But impressive, the best season ever for Brentford. Even if they just missed out on Europe. It's an incredible season. Thomas Frank again. Yeah. We've said it many times, but Thomas Frank, what an incredible manager and the season he's been.
So, but you know, head to head, really important, because if Brentford and City, if they'd played in the Bundes in La Liga rather, and they'd finished level on points, they'd be first champions. Yeah,
you would love to see it. And from one Champions League finalist to another, as Inter beat Atalanta 3-2. Gab, Lukaku looking sharp.
Razor sharp.
This wasn't 30 seconds in, man, that goal.
30 seconds in, and then later on the assist.
Yeah,
vintage. Or it wasn't an assist because it was another pass from Brozovic before that. By the way, controls the ball, threads it through, goes vertical for Lautaro. This was a big win for them too, because Atalanta, you know, these were their last chance to really challenge for the top four. Atalanta had a lot of players out. Inter played well. I think he's got...
Could that change Lukaku and Dzeko's kind of dynamic before the final?
I think that's going to be fascinating to see how he plays this in the final, Simone Inzaghi. Because if you get this Lukaku with Lautaro, to me, that's a better solution than Dzeko. If you feel confident. They have a bad game. I would rather have Dzeko and then bring Lukaku on later.
Yeah.
Rodrigo bags two goals as Real Madrid beat Sevilla 2-1. Jules, 19 games for him in all competitions this season. Not too shabby when you're the third option up front and you don't start every game.
And when you look at the, again, talking about dynamics before, dynamics of those players from one season to another, he's the one really with the biggest progression, which is incredible. And maybe you expected that. You know that the limelight is going to be on Karim and on Vinicius, of course. But he's done extremely well. And I mean, I think there is an argument there to make him the player of the season from Real Madrid point of view. Better than Benzema, better than Vinicius maybe, better than Valverde or Camavinga or whoever you want. Or Courtois maybe still outstanding. Courtois, but still, do you see what I mean?
No question.
It's incredible. Well done to him.
He's special.
Yeah. Manchester United beat Fulham 2-1 to lock up third place ahead of Newcastle. Gab, not too bad for every Ten Hag if you add the FA Cup final to come and obviously the Carabao Cup that they already won. But what do you make of him challenging Marcus Rashford to get to 40 goals this season?
Well, first off, I know you enjoyed watching Harry Maguire out there again.
Yes.
I thought it was, he didn't quite challenge him. He said like, you know, I think he can score 40 goals in a season because he scored 30 this year for the first time in his career. I think Rashford probably could, but if Rashford scores 40 goals in a season, that most likely means there is no outstanding dominant center forward playing for Manchester United, which means Manchester United are worse off. I don't think we should measure Rashford by the number of goals he scores.
That's a very good point.
I mean, he played up front in this game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you see this as his future, and I don't think you do, I think you want Rashford cutting in from the wing and you want a top center forward at Manchester United. Arsenal romped to a 5-0 win over Wolves as Granit Xhaka bags two goals in what is possibly his final appearance.
Yeah.
Jules, why would he want to stay?
So good question, Gab. I think he's happy. I think he would fancy a last kind of chapter in his career, adventure. Also, he has only 1 year left on his contract.
Right, to stay and then move on to
Bayer Leverkusen offering 4 years at his age. That's a big contract.
He's going to make him so much money that's going to move the needle.
It's not much the money. It's a four-year deal. So
in a year from now, they give you a three-year deal or a two-year deal. Who cares?
No.
I never understand this.
But if he doesn't take it now, it's not there from Bayer Leverkusen next season. I don't know, because they would sign someone in his position.
Oh, it's his life's dream to live in Leverkusen, a wonderful city. When did Leverkusen become Paris or New York?
What would you advise him to do? Stay another year at Arsenal, live on a free, and go somewhere else?
This is what I think happened. I think what happened is he went to see the manager, and the manager said, granted, you're super important, but we have to start thinking of the future because Jorginho's in his 30s, Partey's in his 30s, or approaching it. You're in your 30s, so we're going to bring in younger players. You can stay and fight for your spot, and you can compete, but you're not going to be an automatic. You might not be an automatic choice next season. And I think he weighed that up.
I don't think that. I think if he'd stayed, he would have been a starter next season. But what's for sure is that he's only 1 year left on his contract, and Bayer Leverkusen's offer is a huge offer. You could even say from a Bayer Leverkusen point of view, it's a crazy offer.
It's a pay cut compared to what he's getting at Arsenal.
Well, not over 4 years, though. That's the thing.
Just quick one on Wolves. Lopetegui I think he's done a very good thing. Yeah. He was, as you know, I've become a Lopetegui fan. It is kind of funny. Lopetegui unhappy with the club and like there's this financial situation at the club. By the way, who could have seen this coming?
Yeah,
right?
I know, Julian. We told you.
What's really funny is though, the club is run by agents, as we know, like George
Mendes. Agent as well.
And it's his agent too. So this is a way of putting pressure.
I know, but it won't be that. Which is a shame for the Premier League to lose him, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a shame for the Premier League to lose Wolves if they're going to be run in this way. And we told you this is not a healthy situation.
That's very true. Barcelona close out the season with a 3-0 win over Mallorca. The Camp Nou on the days that Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba say goodbye and farewell to the crowd. Gavin Soufati scored twice. Signs of things to come, or did you prefer the tears of Jordi Alba?
Like we talked about Busquets and Jordi Alba before.
I know, but he's crying. Jordi Alba crying.
You know, it's fine. It's beautiful. I mean Ansu Fati because I'm really curious to see what happens with him. He's still only 20 years old.
That second goal is beautiful.
He showed you what he can do. My question is he going to have to do it somewhere else? Because he's not in the starting lineup. He's more talented, I think, than some of the people who are in the starting lineup. And he's a saleable asset. And that's the reality of the club's financial situation right now. Yeah. And, you know, there is a metaphor there in Ansu Fati and Gavi scoring because you say this is the future, this is the green line, La Masia. It's a big, big call ahead.
Yeah.
Wild stuff on the south coast of Southampton. Liverpool draw 4-4. Jules, classic last day of the season, follies. I tell you what, Jurgen Klopp didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it either.
That me neither, to be fair. I mean, I don't know who did because it was Liverpool were 2-0 up and cruising. And then almost
Suleiman enjoyed it.
Just like this, it went to 3-2-4 Southampton. You think, like, what's going on here? What's happening? Like, people stop playing, stop defending, not knowing. The third goal, by the way, Suleiman second for Southampton. I told you. It's a bit of where Liverpool are opened up completely.
You're going to pick on Trent.
It's not Trent's fault. It's just finding that right balance, we said, of him going forward, playing as a midfielder, trying to press, etc., etc. It's a 4-4 draw. You know, Diogo Jota had two. Suleiman had two. Good for them. Fiorentina beat Roma 2-1 in a clash of European finalists. Gabriel Mourinho played his B team and was grumpy after the game. He's all in on the Europa League final, isn't he?
Well, we assume he was grumpy because he didn't speak after the game. Yeah, he's all in on the Europa League final. Relationship with the club isn't great right now. I think this is escape hatch. Win the Europa League, get in the Champions League, and probably go somewhere else.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A late Ronnie Kadira goal gives Union Berlin a 1-0 win over Werder Bremen at the Alte Försterei. This means the hipster underdog fairy tale is
incredible.
Complete.
Incredible.
Producer Freddie very happy. Do you think he was there? He's got the day off today. When he called me sick.
Anyway, too much drinking after.
They'll be playing Champions League football next year, Jules.
Incredible. Incredible achievement, really. Again, we're not going to say the story for. We've said it many, many times.
Look it up. There's a lot of content out there celebrating.
Fischer, amazing. The way that club is run, the fans, where they were a few years ago as well. It's incredible. Good Europa League campaign this season, but next season in the Champions League, it's a different ball game for them, of course. So well done for Freiburg as well. We need to mention them because they just missed out, of course. They will finish fifth. They were fighting with Union for many, many weeks. And Christian Streich has done an amazing job, but it's not for them. It'd be Union with Leipzig, Bayern and Dortmund.
Freiburg, of course, one of the most traditional clubs. Like they're not into
German,
like 50 plus
Baltic
one.
Ownership. No.
No.
Victor Osimhen scores 2 in Napoli's 2-2 draw with Bologna. But president Aurelio De Laurentiis confirms what we already knew, Gabby, is that coach Luciano Spalletti has asked for a sabbatical and won't lead the team next year. Seems crazy. And I mean, he's got a year left on his contract.
He had an option year.
Yeah.
And then De Laurentiis sent him an email rather than talk to him.
Yeah.
It says, oh, by the way, we're picking up your option year.
Okay.
And this just really annoyed Spalletti. You know,
so he said, okay, I'm not coming back. I'm going to on my farm. But they still pay him, right? Why don't they sack him?
I think they're going to work
out. Paid by Napoli, but not working.
they're going to, well, he gets to go back on his farm and drive his little tractor around, yeah, which he really enjoys, while wearing his muddy Ron DeSantis white boots. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to reach some sort of more rational agreement. De Laurentiis does not want him coaching elsewhere next season.
Okay.
I don't know what he wants to do. I think they're going to make a last-ditch effort. Somebody I know said, put it at like 97% that he was gone. He still has a game. You know, they still have another game next weekend,
of course. Yeah, yeah, it's not coming.
I find this whole thing just wrong that you can have a season like this. And, you know, but Spalletti's his own man and so is De Laurentiis.
I saw his tattoo. He had his tattoo on his arm. I mean, oh, beautiful, man.
Luton Town are in the Premier League after beating Coventry City in the playoff final. Jules, I know nothing about their present, other than the fact it's going to be a real trip seeing a ground like Kenilworth Road in the top flight. And a little bit about their past, Lars Elstrup, the plastic pitch, the 1980s.
Of course, exactly.
Tell me about Luton.
Well, they were relegated just before the start of the Premier League. So there was football before the Premier League. I will keep reminding you, of course. They were in the top flight before the Premier League was created, if you want, in 1992. But they were relegated before and never really came up. Well, never came up until this weekend. And they were even went down really, really low because they were down as far as the fifth division in England. So the National League here in England.
And they have a guy who I believe played for them at every level.
Exactly, which is unprecedented before.
Steve Finnan-esque.
Yeah, almost like that. Or Steve Cook even at Bournemouth did something quite similar, but from the Nations League to fourth division, third division. Right. They had four promotions in the last 9 years to finally make it to the Premier League. Incredible, because as you mentioned, Kenilworth Road is this super old school, like almost weird shaped stadium, right?
Again, there's a lot of videos about this on YouTube. Fans. It's pretty incredible.
It is incredible. One of the stands you have to go through, basically the houses that are around the stadium, is something else. So well done to Luton Town and to Rob Edwards, who was sacked by Watford at the start of the season, deemed not good enough for the Championship to take Watford up, and he does it with Luton in the same season.
Do they have any players I've heard of?
No.
Thank you. Didn't think so.
Leipzig beat Schalke 4-2, relegating their opponents to the second division. Gab, my boy Christopher Nkunku scores two more goals before leaving the club, obviously.
Yeah, which he's got 16 and 20 Bundesliga starts.
Incredible.
He's the top scorer in the Bundesliga alongside Mr. Füllkrug, which is always
such a bad season.
Which is always hilarious. 22 goals overall. Look, I think there's an argument to be made. Maybe if he doesn't get injured, maybe Leipzig win the title. Maybe France win the World Cup.
Maybe, of course.
We don't know.
I'm with you.
I think Nkunku is really, really good. Do I need to guess where he was born and bred?
Paris, of course.
Of course.
Of course. He's in my team of the season, by the way, that you will see next week on the web.
By the way, is he the greatest Paris Saint-Germain player that they've let get away?
Mike. Is Magic Mike
Magic Mike. It's got to be one or the other. Atletico Madrid beat Real Sociedad 2-1 as Antoine Griezmann consolidates his Liga Player of the Year credentials, and La Real celebrate Champions League football. Yeah. Jules, win.
Yeah, well done, Imanol. Let's start with La Real Sociedad, because incredible qualification for the Champions League, of course. Imanol doing a great, great job there. I mean, I think Soloth could have scored again, maybe two goals in that game.
The only living Soloth in captivity.
He does so many good things, and then some of the easiest thing, like I literally pulling my hair, like how? But well done to Greasy as well. Another goal. I think it was maybe more of a cross. I still could not work it out what it was exactly, but he went in. Well done to him. Incredible, especially since the World Cup, the second half of the season. And you know what? I think he's La Liga's best player this season. So well done to him. Leicester City are relegated from the Premier League, Gab. It's crazy to think that they were champions just 7 years ago.
Crazy to think. But I think you can go and, you know, when you have a failure like this, there's many reasons and so on. The blame needs to be shared around. I think there are some very obvious things going on here. One is they stuck with the previous manager for too long.
Yeah, 100%.
I know we like to joke about Dean Smith. He looks like the guy with the yellow bib that stands by the highway. you have to identify what was going wrong under the previous boss. Secondly, like, they have the seventh or eighth highest wage bill in the Premier League. A lot of the moves that they made, I praised.
Yeah.
You know, they took that money, they won. The owners invested money, they put in money, they tried to go to the next level. Built a new training ground, state of the art, this and that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the players, partly through injuries, partly through mismanagement, some bad calls as well, I think. And it all fell apart. And I think it's definitely a cautionary tale. Mm. If the owners remain committed, I think they're coming straight back up because...
With Dean Smith, would you keep him?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I look at these relegated sides between them and Leeds, and I tell myself these are not championship teams. I see no reason, even without just even flexing a little bit of financial muscle, they're straight back up. They should be.
They should be.
Lens beat Ajaccio 3-0 and will also be in the Champions League. Jules, they secured second place.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they've talked about them, and we've talked about them enough this season, because I don't know if you've got the wage bills in France ahead of you. Again, this is a team, I'd be surprised if they were above mid-table.
I think that's where they are. Certainly the budget is right there. They were in the second division 3 years ago. They finished seventh last season, seventh the season before. Frank Hayes, the manager, is doing an incredible job at that club. And we've said it before, but some of the recruitment that they did in a very clever kind of data way, great. But I think the one really that makes them so special is that manager. He's really bright. He's still quite youngish. He's only been really coaching for 3.5 years. Before, he was coaching as an assistant or with the youth teams at the academy, all of that. And what he's achieved in that really small amount of time is just incredible. So well done to him, well done to them. You know, I like them a lot because their owners is a really good friend. So I've got a lot of time for them, a lot of love. Adrien Thomasson, my boy as well. Fantastic signing from them in January. It's just, yeah, wonderful club and the best fans in the country too.
So. Is there a reason why you haven't mentioned Openda yet?
And I was coming to it because
he's going to Milan?
I'm not sure if he's going to Milan. That's the thing though. I really hope, and I don't have many hopes, but I do hope that it's a special squad with a special manager, as we said, that try to keep as many of them, of course, for the Champions League. But you know that obviously someone like Openda, Medina, Danso, even Seko Fofana, all those guys are going to be wanted by big, big clubs. And I just hope that they can keep as many as the key players as possible to have a really good season next year in the Champions League and not being finishing fourth in their group with one draw and five defeats or something like that, whatever it is. So, yeah, that's all I want.
Okay, so after Manchester City win the treble and Pep Guardiola decides to go and join Luciano Spalletti on a sabbatical on his farm, which means Mikel Arteta pulls a Benedict Arnold move and moves to a Judas move up back
then
to Manchester
Arsenal
City.
Then get Frank Hayes. Perfect.
Would you rather they get Frank Hayes or would you rather get Will Still?
Ooh! No, I take Frank Hayes. Okay. I take Frank Hayes. Torino coach Ivan Juric was racially abused in his team's 4-0 win over Spezia at the weekend. Gab, it's not just players of color. We've seen that with Vlahovic as well and Stankovic.
Yeah, and like I think this brings up another point, right? They were shouting at him. They were calling him. There's several points to make on this.
Gypsies, aren't they? Like,
so gypsy. In some places in Italy is a catch-all slur at Slavs, you know, players from people from the former Eastern Europe. Ivan Juric is not I don't even know to what degree it's appropriate to use the word gypsy, but that's the word they use.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether you're talking about travelers, the Romani people, the Rom, whatever. But he's not one of them. He's just a dude from Croatia, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't ultras. It was people behind the Spezia bench. I thought what was good was the reaction. So the referee talked to him. They suspended the game. They applied the protocol. Emmanuel Jazzi, who himself has been racially abused in the past, he's Italian, but he's of Ghanaian origin.
Actually,
plays for Ghana, in fact. He came, he talked to the fans in the stand. I want to follow through because the stand where he was abused from, these are actually, the pricey seats,
or
as expensive as seats in the Spezia stadium come. Shouldn't be difficult to identify these people.
No,
this is not an angry crowd of ultras. And obviously, under the Italian FA rules, any reference to any slur related to race, ethnicity, religious origin, and sexuality, and so on, it all gets treated the same. It does. I think it does raise an issue, especially on the ethnicity side, because or the beat the Providence side of it,
yeah,
because, you know, we live in England, and every time we go to watch Chelsea, we hear homophobic slurs. Yeah. Every time we watch Liverpool or Everton, we hear, you know, stories about Scousers looking in the dustbin for something to eat, finding a dead rat, thinking it's a treat. You know, all these songs, which, you know, might have been funny 30 years ago, but this is exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So there is no common approach to this. And I just think we're at a tipping point where I think we're ready for very clear rules and ideas about what you can shout at someone in terms of abuse, mm-hmm, and what you can't. So we've agreed anything to do with race is not acceptable. Here, using a slur to somebody who's not of that ethnicity,
yeah,
should it be treated the same way? These are questions above my pay grade, but I would like to see some uniformity in Europe anyway. Meanwhile, falling on from the Vinicius abuse, Flamengo and Cruzeiro staged their own protest against racism on Saturday.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, they had on their shirt a message for Vinicius as well in Brazil this weekend. It's exactly what we said in the last show. It's the sense that this story has gone worldwide. I mean, in Brazil, of course, especially, but that people are staying to really like be conscious of it all, and the awareness I think is important.
Yeah, and I mean after kickoff in the game, they all sat down on the pitch, including the referee. They stopped for 39 seconds. It's one of those things where obviously in Brazil is going to be more of an issue.
For sure,
it's not a coincidence that, you know, Brazil's a huge market. Real Madrid's a huge brand. La Liga is a huge brand. So it's not coincidence. Tebas responded immediately. You know, gave an interview to us at ESPN Brazil. Yeah. Nobody's going to argue with this. Obviously, though, concrete actions have to follow, and concrete actions can really only come from leagues and from law enforcement.
Yeah. Gab, you love to talk about multi-club ownership. As we know, City Football Group are causing legal waves in Belgium, in the Belgium second division.
You know my views on multi-club ownership. It's generally been an absolute dud, with some exceptions. But everybody thinks, oh, it's a great idea. Yeah. City Football Group, they own a club called Lommel, who are in the second division. There's another club called Virton, who has lodged a complaint with the European Commission against Lommel, and it's based on the fact that they're saying that there are foreign subsidies which are distorting the internal market, and what they're referring to is simply City Football Group, which is not part of Belgium. They're distorting the market in the second division by... In fact, City Football Group, actually from outside the EU as well, by basically inflating costs and distorting the market in the second division. And they say that Lommel have no economic rationality. There's no point to Lommel other than being a receptacle for City Football Group players. We can laugh at this and throw it out.
But
I remind people laughed at Bosman as well, and then he won.
Yeah.
I do wonder that there is a strong argument to be here. I think if you're going to go down this road, you have to be a good owner, and being a good owner isn't just about putting players into the club and developing them and then selling them on. I think you have to take greater care with the stewardship of the club. To be fair to City Football Group, as far as I know, that's what they've done in Melbourne. That's what they've done in Yokohama. They don't use this as just a place to store players and move them around. And but, you know, Lommel may be a different case. Mm. Benfica beat Santa Clara 3-0 to be crowned champions of Portugal. Jules, fair to say that they did it. Paris Saint-Germain and back their way to the title.
Yeah, I mean, they've been waiting 3 years for this title. So it came. We've said that they had their wobbly moments in the season, especially after being knocked out of the Champions, certainly after the World Cup at the turn of the year. I think overall, they were still the better team in Portugal. Roger Schmidt doing an amazing job. We've said that even after losing Enzo in January. Of course, it was maybe a little bit shaky towards the end because had they lost that game and Porto had won at the weekend, Porto would have been champions on the last day of the season. That was not the case. So well done to Benfica.
But I think they need to go and reflect because it's not just Enzo leaving.
They
so collapsed. Dominant. Right up until February, they were so dominant. You know, saying, oh, you know, not just best team outside the big five, but like, oh, look at this.
They were unbeaten.
They were unbeaten for so long and whatever. And then he kind of like backed into it. I think there's lessons to be learned there.
Definitely. Atletico Madrid have won the Women's Spanish Cup, beating Real Madrid in the final on penalties, Gab.
Right. There's two things to say.
I mean, I'm amazed that question is for you, but you know.
Well, no, because I did some research on this. So first of all, I was just shocked that like, oh wait, Barcelona didn't
lose
any win. No.
Tell us why.
They were thrown out because they played an ineligible player in one year. Right. There was a player who was, I guess, was suspended. It wasn't clear if they were suspended or not. But the other reason I found interesting is the Spanish Cup, as you know, the men's Spanish Cup in Spain is called Copa del Rey, which means King's Cup. The women's Spanish Cup isn't called Copa del Rey Feminine or, you know, women's King's Cup. It's called the Queen's Cup. I don't understand this at all. Is it because women play, so it becomes the Queen's Cup, and men play, so it's the King's Cup? It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the cup presumably is named for the monarch, although before that, of course, it was named for the Generalissimo Francisco Franco.
Yeah.
So maybe he didn't want to go down that road, but I don't understand. Like, he is king to the women as well of Spain,
Of course he is, but...
But, like, what's the logic? I have no idea.
Maybe they wanted a different name. I don't know.
What... It's weird, right? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that are unusual, but like, this seems to me almost patronizing. I don't know. It's not just Leicester and Leeds United, but three other illustrious former European greats are also down.
Oh, no.
Sampdoria in Serie A.
Yeah.
Schalke 04 in the Bundesliga and Espanyol in La Liga. Jules, who will you miss the most?
I miss them all. Gabby, I miss them. I mean, I think, by the way, it's quickly, Espanyol drew a Valencia where the refereeing was shocking in that game. Absolutely shocking. I guess maybe I miss Espanyol the less of the... But I miss Sampdoria for the shirt, for the derby with Genoa, who are coming back up, by the way. So they're doing the, the crossover. I miss Schalke for the fans, of course, and for what they mean historically. And also, they're quite funny because they're always a shambles. But it's a shame. And Leeds and Leicester, we mentioned Leicester before, and Leeds as well, and the Sam Allardyce experiment that went all wrong. It's always a shame, I think, when you see those big clubs going down. But this is what you deserve in many respects. This is what those clubs deserve, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sampdoria really emotional days. Marco Lanna coming out there, obviously former Sampdoria player, holding up Gianluca Vialli's shirt. There is some respite. It looks like they'll finally get a new owner after the, and I think I can say this.
It's part of the problem as well.
After the crook, Ferrero, I think I can say this when you've been found guilty of crimes. One of their owners looks like Andrea Rizzani, who's, of course, Leeds, could be taking over the club, although that remains to be seen now that Leeds are relegated. There may be some question about whether how easily he can get his money out. So I think they're going to come back. Schalke, like you said, ridiculous fans, tremendous fans.
Incredible.
Although I also kind of feel yo-yo club of late, badly run.
Yeah, for sure.
Espanyol is the one I feel from because a lot of this is down to the owners.
Yeah.
These are not good owners again. And we need to take a long, hard look at who we allow to buy into football clubs. I'm not saying it's to be like the NFL where there's a commissioner and people vote and it's a big boys club, but there's got to be better safeguards in place. And of course, and they got screwed at the weekend as well.
They got done badly. Brighton lose to Aston Villa 2-1 at Villa Park, but they don't care. They're already, as we know, in the Europa League for next season. But Gab, how about Roberto De Zerbi saying that basically Alexis Mac-Allister and Moises Caicedo are free to go, free to leave the club? Does that bother you?
No, I actually think, oh look, Brighton really are a grown-up club. They're not just a well-run club. They're a grown-up club. I find it, when people don't talk about this stuff, when they're like, oh, it was just speculation. We don't comment on speculation. No, just keep lying then, right? Again, I don't know if, as has been reported, Mac-Allister and Caicedo have release clauses or whatever. But we saw Caicedo, of course, close to leaving in January. He came out and said, this is the club's policy, right? If we get the price we want for the players, we're not going to keep them in. We're not going to say no, right? We think these guys have a fair value. We're going to sell them and we're going to replace them with other players who we think are going to be better and to keep us competitive. And this is the reality. Until we have equal resources, until we have a salary cap or whatever you want to call it, you're going to have clubs that, you know, as we say in the US, are born on third base and think they've hit a triple, right? The resources, there's just a massive resource imbalance.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what you have to compete. And to me, this is a bigger achievement than all those clubs and their silverware, show us your medals, blah, 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 the ambition thing. And so I'm sorry if I'm going in a rant. It really bugs the crap out of me. Same thing, like after the Mbappe thing, like, oh, Mbappe's not ambitious because if he were ambitious, he would have moved on. Moved on to where? To where? To Man City? So he can win more silverware, like carrying Haaland's jockstrap? What, to Madrid? Well, I mean, he'll go there eventually, maybe. But he actually wants to win a Champions League with Paris. That means more to him.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I've really gotten to the point where all we're doing is just keeping score of who wins what. Guys, I'm all for that if it's fair. But you know what? As Leonard Cohen says, it's not fair. The war is over. The good guys lost. It's not fair. None of this is fair.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to do it, celebrate it. And so if Brighton are going to be honest about it,
and more transparent. Power to them. Exactly.
Hamburg have been waiting 5 years to get back where they belong in the Bundesliga.
Of course.
Now, they thought they got it done on Saturday. They were even celebrating. But instead, they're going to have to go through the playoffs. This was kind of embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing. Yeah, their game finished. They've won. They think they're going up because at the same time, Heidenheim are losing 2-1 and it's the 93rd minute or something, which meant that Heidenheim would be third and play in the playoff with the third team from bottom in the Bundesliga to go up or staying down. And Hamburg are celebrating on the beach. They're like literally kissing and hugging. Hang on a minute. Heidenheim scored the leveler in 93rd minute to make it 2-2. And then in the 98th minute, they scored the winner to make it 3-2 to overtake Hamburg in the table. So now Hamburg have to play the playoff against Stuttgart to know if they can go up home and away, of course, next week. And Heidenheim are celebrating, another team, by the way, from South Germany, celebrating the promotion. Seriously. Man, there, come on. UEFA have confirmed that despite being the designated team away team, Inter Milan will get to wear the black and blue shirt in the Champions League final gap. So they're like home traditional shirt.
Both Inter and City will be wearing their home kits. They have to designate an away team for administrative reasons. But it's great. I don't want to see Inter wearing white. I don't like away shirts to begin with. I think you should only use... When I own a football club, I'm only going to make them wear away shirts if there's a clash with the opposition.
Okay.
Right? To come into my house, they're wearing my shirts, away from home, only if there's a clash.
When I'm your sporting director, I'll validate that.
Thank you. There is no reason for Inter to wear anything but their colors, which are black and blue. There's no reason for City to not wear their color, which are kind of that weirdo pale blue, which I think they call sky blue in this country because blue, that's the color of the sky.
It's often,
That's actually not what the sky looks like. That's what people in the north of England think the sky looks like, but whatever. I love it. This is the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. I'm hyped. I'm amped. We're going to be there in Istanbul. Roll on. Yep. Last final I saw in Istanbul. That was pretty darn exciting. I wonder if this one will match it. Jules, I'm going to be back on Thursday with Robbo reflecting back on the Europa League final.
That's right. Yes.
Roma against Sevilla. How about that? You're taking a well-deserved rest, but you'll be back to the week after that.
Yeah.
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.